Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I certainly did. Welcome to our final online worship service for the year. And thank you to everyone who came out to our Christmas worship service last week. Really fun having everyone together, having the puppets there, having some new folks join us as well. Quick update regarding our special offering. In case you missed it, we raised over $1,500 towards caring for orphans and the needy, so it's not too late to give. If you missed it, just check out some of the announcements after the message today and in your newsletter. So what I want to do today is recap the year just as quickly as I can in the next 15 minutes or so. Think about what this year has been about for CVC and what God has been saying to our church in 2021. And firstly, let me say that 2021 was just about as weird as 2020 in many ways. We hit 2020 unexpectedly, and this year just things have been dragging on. But for our church, this year has really been about stabilizing the ship. And really the biggest news is that after more than 600 days of meeting online half the time and in the afternoon being at a different church and, you know, being in the backyard of the Canete family, thank you, under the tents and trying to brave the elements, we finally moved back into the Merck in West Conshohocken. So glad our Conshohocken Vineyard Church signs actually make sense again. So anyway, this has been a really interesting year, but everyone I've talked to is glad to be back, thankful for the consistency to be in person together in the morning and not having to freeze their buns off in the cold outside or be when it gets warm to melt away. So thank you. Thank you for everyone who's faithfully continued meeting together, faithfully caring for one another through the challenging year. I also want to give another shout out to all of you who serve so faithfully under these uncertain circumstances. So thank you so much. I'm hoping that in 2022, we'll see some of you come out who we haven't seen in person yet. That would be great. Another highlight for the year for me was that I was able to take a sabbatical and end it on our 7th anniversary. So those are both really good signs of health. And I want to give thanks to Teresa, along with the team of ministry leaders and folks who serve, did a great job caring for our church while I was gone. And speaking of Teresa, you know, she's just coming out of retiring from decades of being a professor at Eastern University. She basically jumped into almost full-time ministry and really hasn't had much time off during this transition. And as she told us in her recent message, has really struggled with some health issues too. So in the beginning of 22, what we're going to do is give Teresa a couple months away from ministry life so she can rest, so she can recuperate, and so she can keep serving our church so faithfully and generously and do it while she's healthy and doing so. So I'm excited that she'll have an opportunity to do that. So let's be praying for Teresa as she eases her way into a new season of rest. For me, going on sabbatical and taking time to rest has been life-changing. It's going to sustain me for years to come as my default mode of being a working man who's trying hard to rest to being a resting man who's learning to participate in God's work has really been changed the way that my inner life and how I think and how I feel and the pace at which I live is happening. So thank you for your grace and how you've extended that to me over the course of this year. So that invitation really to rest is one of the key parts of the vision for our church, as you know, if you've been involved for a while. And it's going to remain central to our ministry, to people like yourself, people like me, you know, you and me who feel burdened by work or life or religion or whatever it might be. But what we know is that Jesus is really good news for the weary. And during our summer sermon series, an invitation to rest, I was really impressed with how God wanted us to understand the importance of putting our relationship with Jesus first in order to sustain us during those wearisome times. And I was really encouraged to hear the stories from those of you who are taking intentional steps to develop those patterns of Sabbath and solitude and simplicity in order to stay close to Jesus and rest in God's love. And that's what we did. Starting off in 2021, we kicked it off with a sermon series called The Father's Love, because knowing God's love for us really is the foundation for our spiritual lives. And God's love is the anchor that stabilizes us in our life no matter what's going on. And it's only God's love that has the power to conquer sin and to free us from fear. It defines our identity and helps us love one another. And we can grow in knowing God's love just by being intentional and resting in God's loving presence. It's how it's all connected. And when we rest in God's loving presence, we become more like Jesus from the inside out. That's the way the kingdom works. It's something that starts within and manifests itself in our day-to-day lives. And that's the spiritual journey that God invites us into. It's this journey into Christ's likeness. And the mission of Conshohocken and Vineyard Church really is to multiply mature, meaning Christ-like, disciples of Jesus from the main line to the main street. And becoming disciples of Jesus really doesn't happen by accident. What we need to do is we need to have a vision for what it means to actually be a disciple. But to be a disciple in the world isn't easy. It takes perseverance, and there's suffering involved. And there's a cost. In other words, there's a cost to discipleship. And what that means is giving up our way and saying yes to what God wants with our time, our money, our energy, our physical bodies. And it means being different from the world and being faithful to Jesus even when others are not. See, what happens is when we follow Jesus and we submit to him in the details of our lives, we discover that Jesus is good news for the practical matters of our life, just as much as Jesus saves us from an eternity apart from his presence. See, eternal life, Jesus says, is knowing God, and it starts here and now. If you ever doubt the truth of who Jesus is, simply remember the resurrection. It's this truth that our faith is built upon, and God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the good news of salvation. And the good news of salvation is the starting point for the good news of the kingdom. And the good news of the kingdom that Jesus promised his disciples is that he would send a helper. He would send the Holy Spirit after he was God gone. And God's power is present with his disciples, with us, to share God's world, to love the lost, to help us persevere, to prophesy, to remain anchored and united in the midst of division and polarization and racism and all these things we see happening in the world today. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be who God created us to be, just people of his presence. And as we've learned, this is what the church is. The church is really a spirit-empowered movement of disciples. And one of the primary ways that we cultivate God's presence in our lives is through worship. See, in the Vineyard movement, worship really is our top priority. And while I was on sabbatical, we were blessed to have a variety of folks teach us about how we were created for worship. And I love the extended times of worship that we get to experience now that we're back at the Merck and during our worship and prayer nights and all that we're doing. And I want to say special thank you to Ben Mill and the worship team for leading us into God's presence and being so faithful and consistent to do so. You know, another thing I'm excited about that we added to our in-person worship service is something called God Stories. And each week we'll get to hear from someone in our church who has a testimony to share about how God is actively at work in their life. And I also want to say thank you to Bindu Wong, who has been leading the charge in this new initiative. See, God's stories are really our inspiration for worship. And as we listen, it builds faith in those who are hearing. And not only that, but when we share God's stories, they're acts of spiritual warfare. So we need to be prepared to tell those stories. And I would encourage you to write out one of those stories over this Christmas break. Here's your little homework assignment. Take the time to think of it. If you haven't done so already, write down your God story, whatever it might be, and email us at godstories@conshohockenvineyard.com. We want to hear what God is doing in your life. And if he's doing something, it's a story worth sharing. But if there's one sermon series that I feel like really characterizes this year the most, it would be the one we did called Reimagining Church. And all these things we talked about are connected. But what God has done is use this pandemic as an opportunity to expand our imagination for how we do things differently. And it's during times like this, when we question our traditions, we can learn how to depend on God instead of trusting in ourselves. See, we need to recognize that the church really is messy, but it's part of his plan. And this is really helpful for me as a type 1 kind of person, if you're familiar with the Enneagram. As a type 1 pastor, I need to remember the church is messy, and that's okay, because it is part of what God has planned for us to clean up our mess and not to keep us that way. We come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. But what God has been teaching me and what I've been seeing as I talk with my friends who are involved in missions all throughout the world and seeing what God is doing is that we have a lot to learn from these disciple-making movements about how we can reimagine church in this next season. And really the church's goal, one of the main ideas there is the church's goal is not just to help people simply make decisions, but to make disciples and make disciples who make disciples of Jesus, who make disciple makers. And so what we're going to be doing is then in the new year, in order to follow up from some of the things we briefly discussed earlier, is we're going to offer a 7-week training to help those of you who have a vision and a desire to learn the habits of a multiplying disciple, how to apply that, and how to learn from what God's word says and what these movement leaders from around the world have experienced in seeing God move in a very powerful way. So stay tuned for more information coming up next month. But as we help people along Route 23 reimagine church, what we need to understand is where people are coming from. We need to have compassion and understanding that people have this idea of church that isn't what God's idea is. I mean, many people think church is a building where people come and go to religious services, or where they watch the clergy do things that are defined by rules and rituals, or they think that church is this stagnant institution. But this year, if there's anything we've learned, it's just the opposite. See, church is more like a dynamic organism, or it's like a family. It's people who are empowered by the presence of God. And church happens on Sunday mornings, and a lot of good things are happening. But we also do church in our homes. We do church with one another in conversations on the phone and online and in the streets and in the gyms and in the places where we meet. In all these places, we worship, we pray, we love, and we listen. We put into practice what God's speaking to us. And it's in these places that we share God's stories with people. And these are great stories. And there are lots of great stories to tell. And again, I would love to hear those stories. Some highlights, folks this year have gotten some new jobs. We've seen some folks get married, which is exciting, had babies. And there's been really a lot of people who have been supporting one another, the untold stories in very difficult times behind the scenes. And that's just beautiful in the kingdom of God. But when we do this, when we do church the way God imagines it, people change. We've seen people give their lives to Jesus this year in baptism, and we've seen people experience healing in their families and in their hearts, and that's just so exciting. You see, church is a place where the people of God, empowered by the Spirit, live these supernaturally natural lives where they use their gifts and depend on one another in a way that doesn't revolve and depend on just one person. And kids, too, aren't too young to engage in serving and giving and worshiping and praying and just doing the stuff like the adults. Like we like to say often, is everybody gets to play. Many people think of church as well as a place where people just to have it all together and really keep up appearances. But the reality is that church is a messy family. Even healthy families need to clean up their messes from time to time. Like all the wrapping paper and ripped up boxes under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. It's a healthy disaster. Unless maybe one of the parents insists on the kids putting the wrapping paper immediately into a plastic bag, but who would ever do that? But we clean up our messes in church by forgiving one another. We confess our sins to one another. We pray with and for each other. You see, many people have this idea that churches are places that judge or abuse or hurt people, but we know that what God imagines for our church is that we would be a spiritual hospital, a place where you can come as you are and be restored. And I'm really excited that as Teresa comes back from a break and continues to give leadership to our Deep Inner Healing prayer ministry, we'll have yet another great opportunity for people to receive the healing that they need. And this ministry, along with some other initiatives in the year to come, will be the foundational building blocks for building the spiritual hospital that God has called us to be. So there's a lot more I can say about 2022, and I'm excited for the year to come, but we'll leave it at that for now. This is Rich Andrews signing off for 2021. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, good morning again if you missed it the first time. If I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good holy night.